There are many different ways of communicating. A story is said to be better than a lecture, and a picture, well, we say that's worth a thousand words. So when Jesus wanted to get a new idea into the minds of those who were reluctant to accept it, he told them a parable. And when he wanted to explain to the disciples the difficult idea that he had to die and why he had to die, he acted it out before them. John in his gospel tells us nothing of the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his friends. But he does tell us some important truths that Jesus wanted to communicate. Perhaps you didn't realize that the reason Jesus invited his friends to a Last Supper was to explain these difficult ideas of why he had to die. But just think about it. They were gathered for a Passover meal, though it may have been a Passover meal brought forward by a day because that year the Passover clashed with the Sabbath. And it was customary at the Passover meal to eat unleavened bread as a reminder that when the Israelites fled from Egypt, they didn't even have time to let the fermenting dough rise from which they made their bread. And they drank wine to remind them of the Passover lamb that was sacrificed and its blood painted on the doorposts. And this was to save them from dying when the angel of death passed over their house to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians. And so the meal that Jesus and his friends gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem to eat was a meal full of symbolism, implying salvation from slavery and from death. And of course, when they shared that meal, the other gospel writers tell us that Jesus added another layer of symbolism. He broke the bread, he poured out the wine, and he pointed at them and said, "This, my body, and this, my blood." And perhaps it wasn't until later, much later, that the disciples realized what Jesus had done with them in that upper room. His body, he was saying, this warm human body which had healed them and embraced them, this body was going to be broken until it was a corpse, the victim of extreme violence. And his lifeblood, they realized, was to be poured out of the multiple wounds to form a pool of blood on the ground. And in this way, Jesus resembled the Passover lamb. He was sacrificing his life to save them from captivity to sin and from the fear of death. Now, we're very familiar with these concepts, but as ideas, they take a bit of thinking about before we can really absorb their full meaning. And so Jesus told them to repeat the actions over and over and over again, not only at Passover time, but every time they met, to remember how he died. And we continue to act out the death of Christ still, every time, like tonight when we eat bread and drink wine. And in this Eucharistic meal, Jesus speaks to us in a way that goes beyond words. And our repeating of these actions tells us again and again that Jesus died for you and for me, a sacrifice to set us free from bad habits and from spiritual death. Yes, actions do speak louder than words. And if Jesus, I suppose, had tried to explain his death to us in words, then we might never fully grasp its meaning. But by seeing it acted out before us time and time again, gradually the wonder of it all sinks in. And so we have invented a new word to define this sort of communication. We call communion a sacrament. A sacrament has been defined as an outwards and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace given to us, ordained by Christ himself, and a means whereby we receive his grace, and it's a pledge to assure us thereof. In other words, you can't see God's love, but Jesus gives us something we can see: bread broken and wine poured out. And he gives us these things to make us certain that he loves us. The sacrament's often compared to a kiss. You can't see a mother's love, and so she gives a child a kiss. Love made visible. And we see that, and we realize that we should never doubt that the mother loves her child. Once we have grasped the idea of a sacrament, all sorts of things take on symbolic meaning. Perhaps a flag which you salute, or a Bible on which you swear an oath to tell the truth. Perhaps even the holy act by which a child is conceived. For these are all earthly signs with heavenly meanings. In our tradition, we speak of two sacraments. We speak of communion, when we share bread and wine. And we speak of baptism, when we welcome people into the membership of Christ's church. We speak of these two sacraments in our tradition because they were direct commands from the Lord Jesus. And yet, as we read Scripture, and as we've read Scripture tonight and seen Jesus donning a towel and washing his disciples' feet, we know from Scripture that there are other important things, other commands no less important than the command to share bread and wine and to baptize believers. There are other things that bring an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Other traditions, other Christian traditions, add five other sacraments to our two. As well as baptism and communion, they would add confirmation, where you confirm promises made for you as a child, or marriage, or healing, or confession and forgiveness, even ordination to the ministry. I think there's nothing special or magical in the numbers 2 or 7 or 77, but all of these share in the new forms of communication which Jesus invented as he shared this Last Supper with his friends. And he showed them by his actions, washing their feet, the truth of what he was trying to communicate, that we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who gives of himself for us, that we might do the same for others. Yes, a new form of communication invented at the Last Supper, actions speaking louder than words, and making the invisible love of God visible before our very eyes. Let us pray.